Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at RocketMortgage.com/HamNation. By ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 327 for November 29th, 2017. So much stuff, we couldn't pick a name.
Hello, everybody. Bob Heil, and I'm from Fairview Heights tonight. We're in the shadow of the St. Louis Arch, where we design, build, and ship lots of things. Headsets, microphones, and goodies, and that. It's where we are tonight. So good to be here. I'm in my on my HM12. This is the one that HRO is giving away with all of their transceivers. What a deal that is. I got a lot of goodies for you, too, after a while. But you talk about goodies, oh, my. We're going to do a little round robin here and head back up to Michael. But first, we're going to talk to the queen of DX. Hi, Valerie.
Does that mean I'm a goodie? I like digging the shirt, Bob.
Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to show this to you guys. I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of cool. I had one of our ham viewers, Rich K3 Oscar Echo, sent that to me. His wife was a big-time quilter. They were married for 50 years, and she had passed away. And I'm sorry about that, Rich. But he, instead of getting rid of all her quilting and stuff, he thought, you know what? I've never threaded a needle on a sewing machine before or whatever. And he did it, and he sewed me this little thing to thank me for my help in Puerto Rico.
Hold it up a little longer.
Okay.
Hold that up a little longer. Yeah. Isn't that sweet? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
got
all
my
right.
little antenna. And yeah, I thought that was so sweet. So thank you, Rich. I really appreciate it. The letter actually brought tears to my eyes, so I appreciate it. So I've got some great stuff we're going to be talking about with ARRL. They just announced in the newest QST edition, their big operating event for 2018. So we're going to be talking with Bart Yonke on that. So make sure you stay tuned. Back to you.
Well, we're going to take it on down the line to Mississippi, lower Mississippi, and Don Wilbanks. How you doing, Don? You okay?
Yeah, we're good. We're happy to be here tonight after I posted this on the Facebook page. My son and I had a near miss. It would have been a very, very, very bad car accident this morning. By like a second, half a second or so, we missed being involved in a head-on that probably, well, I don't know. I'm not even going to speculate as to the severity or survivability of it, but it would have been bad. And thankfully, I don't know if it was quick reflexes or dumb luck or good timing or an angel on my shoulder, but out of the five cars that would have been involved, none of them touched. So a miracle. By the grace of God, we're here. We're going to have some good stuff for you from Amateur Radio Newsline. And unfortunately, haven't heard from Dr. T, so we don't have a solar update. So I guess we'll have to consult Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz to see if, in fact, the sun will come up tomorrow. I bet your bottom dollar that it will, Bob.
Well, we will hope that she's back here next week because we love Dr. T, her and her.
Yes, we do.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of followers, and I'm really glad that she's a part of the Ham Nation. Well, I've got an interesting guest tonight. I met him in Pacificon. And I figured we got to get this guy on here, and we're probably going to have him more because he's very interesting. And he is Michael, K-E-8-A-Q-W. Greetings to you, Michael.
Hi, Bob. Hi, everyone else on Ham Nation.
Where are you living? Where are you from? What are we watching you from?
Currently, I am in Mountain View, but I'm a native of Plymouth, Michigan, and a Crimson Tide fan.
All right. Yay, yay. Well, it was really interesting because when I saw you, you were always carrying around some kind of circuit board or something you were building. And as you all know, I is a builder, and I love those kind of things. And you sent some great pictures. Victor, why don't you start off? Let's look at some of these pictures. And Mike, you tell us what we're seeing here.
Sure. This is from my time at the University of Alabama. Our club station was W4UAL, and so we decided to hold an outdoor operating event, and I made that poster there. And we were hoping to get some more student involvement, and at this particular day, we made a contact with, say, Chelles Island on 20 meters.
All right. Which was a cool thing.
And then this right here is where I operate when I'm back in Michigan. Sometimes me and a few others meet at our local historical museum and operate under KC8SWR. And so there's me at an event we had.
All right.
And then while I was at the University of Alabama, I got a chance to study abroad in Sevilla, Spain. And while I was out there, I met up with a club, Echo Alpha 7 URS. And we were operating from Torre de Aguila there, and we operated portable. And that ham down there is, his name's Paco, EA7JGZ. This is their shack. It's on the second floor of a building, and so they have a radio there, and also that's where they hold their meetings. And so I was just taking a turn operating. It was funny, though. Their beam... their rotor was actually stuck. They put on silicon instead of they wanted to lubricate it. Instead, they glued it pointing towards Russia, so couldn't get any contacts to the U.S. This is just actually from a couple weekends ago. After PacificCon, I managed to pick up this buddy pole and wanted to go test it out, so I went to a nearby park and set up, and I'm using the MFJ 40-meter CW rig in that chair there, and I made a contact with Southern California that day. And this is a iambic paddle that I made. I was taking a Morse code class through the CW Ops group, and for that class, you need a key, and so I didn't have one, so with a 3D printer at work, I fabricated this guy with a pattern I found on a website.
Now, let's talk about this just a minute.
Sure.
Yeah, I know that you're really doing a lot of things with 3D printers, and you built this whole project with a 3D printer. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. This one was the MakerBot, and so basically I just printed the base, and then that center screw there is the ground, and then each paddle is made with a paperclip and plastic from a ketchup bottle. And the screws on the sides are just for tension.
I think the next slide you were separation cable made for your Kenwood radio. Talk about that. This is pretty cool. And you did this with a 3D printer, right?
Yes. I was given this radio by a fellow named Rob, N-A-G-R-V, I believe. R-G-F, N-A-R-G-F. And so on this radio, that head unit can come off. However, this cable is no longer made, or it's sold by like pack parts for $50. So I decided I would try to make a cable myself. So basically using some measurements of the connectors and stuff, I 3D printed the housing, and I found that these pins were sold on DigiKey, and so I got some of those and wired it up, and it actually worked. I'm pretty happy about that, and so I'm making it for other people who also have this radio.
That's what ham radio is all about. And let's check out the next one. This is what you showed me at Pacificon, I do believe.
Yep. So this is a 40-meter radio, single frequency. You can build it with a filter for CW or for SSB. It's a kit that is made by a ham I met in Spain. His call sign's at the bottom of the slide here. And so he showed me this when I met him there in Spain. And then after I came back, me and another ham, we bought some, and I assembled this over the course of last year. And that box is something I just printed to house it, so I wouldn't have to carry around the board.
That's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about this. How long have you been into amateur radio, Michael?
So I got my license when I was at the University of Alabama back in 2015. One of our professors mentioned our club was having a meeting that night. And so I went to the meeting, enjoyed it. And then later in the spring, I got licensed. And then a couple months later, I upgraded. And so that was my beginnings with ham radio. And also, my dad was a ham. However, he never had his station set up in the house, and his call sign expired a few years back.
And you started working at the Ford plant. Do I understand that right? Is that where you kind of started all of this?
Yeah, so I started working after I graduated at Ford Motor Company as an engineer. Their main engineering facility is in Dearborn, Michigan, which is where I was for about a year. But currently I'm out in a facility they have here in Palo Alto. And they're working on some really neat stuff with connected vehicles and autonomous vehicles and a whole bunch of other things.
Well, that's the thing that we need to get you back and let you tell us more about all of that, because it's pretty interesting that a young gentleman like you are doing some of these incredible things. And you learn most all of this from ham radio and on your own. Of course, you went to college, but ham radio's been a big force in your life, as I understood.
Yeah, in the past couple years, it's been a really great hobby of mine. I've met some great people through it. Found out Ford Motor Company has a club, K8UTT, and I actually bought my first HF rig from their president at the time. And through ham radio, I've just been able to meet a lot of different people.
That's great. Are you on the air presently from California?
I am. I have the Kenwood TS-480, which I operate from here in my apartment. I'm on the fifth floor, so I try and throw a wire dipole out the window, half of it out the window, half of it on the floor. And I have a lot of noise, but I can still operate from here.
That's great. Well, we'll look forward to catching up with you sometime. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, and we're going to come back to you. I want to learn more about what you're doing at Ford and some of the things you're doing with the printer. That's an amazing thing. How long have you been playing with 3D printing?
I've actually just started since my time here at Ford. We have some printers that we're able to make small parts with and test with. And so that's how I've got started with that.
Well, you need to teach us about that. That's a fabulous, fabulous thing that's going on. I really appreciate you coming on the program, and we'll look forward to having you back. And we'll look for you on the air, and keep up the good work, that's for sure. And the ham radio is big center of your life, I can see. So thanks a lot, Michael. We really appreciate you spending a little time with us and showing us some of the things that you do. It was great to meet you, and we'll see you again really soon.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be here with you guys as well.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's just great. Takes me back about, do I dare say 60 years, Don? yeah. 60 years, Don. 60 uh-huh. for me. Actually, 61. Hey,
I didn't know Michael was an Alabama alum. A little something there for you, Michael. Here's
just, there you go.
You know. Go SEC.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we couldn't beat you this year, but our time is coming. Our time is coming. So
yeah, I look forward to that game every year.
Yeah, it's a good one. Always is. Alabama LSU is always a good one. Michael, such good stuff. And you know, I'm with Bob. We definitely want to have you come back and talk about the autonomous vehicles and things. And even if you can speak to it, maybe some tips for noise reduction as far as getting computer noise maybe out from a vehicle out of a radio, or keeping the RF from the radio from getting into the vehicle, and you know, doing stuff like causing the horn to honk or making the wipers go across or flashing the lights or whatever. So yeah, we definitely need to have you back. Great guest. We appreciate you being here tonight.
Thanks, Don.
All right, very good. Well, let's talk about Rocket Mortgage. A mortgage is a fact of life. You're going to need one eventually. Let's get rid of that. You're going to need one eventually. Everybody does, unless, you know, you're Jeff Bezos or something. And that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage, because quite frankly, the mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution, and that is why, exactly why, Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan, and it's very simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that is just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. That's rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, we thank you for your support of Ham Nation. We got to go and talk to Valerie now and see what's going on in the world of the DX Queen.
Well, I'm not going to be really talking about DX, although it can be used for DX. ARRL, as you know, they came out with what their new operating event is going to be for 2018. And what's really great about this is it's available for if you are on UHF, VHF, HF, or even ELF. So let's go ahead and show that interview with Bart Yonke, who is the contest gentleman over at the ARRL. Well, today I am joined with Bart Yonke, Whiskey 9 Juliet, and he is the contest branch manager at the ARRL, and we are going to talk about the International Grid Chase. Welcome aboard, Bart.
Hey, Val. Great to be on the program with you. And
for those of you following along at home, you want to pull up your latest QST and go to page 92. And this talks about the new year-long operating event called the ARRL International Grid Chase. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because National Parks in the Air is so successful. I can't believe you guys found something else to do that looks like it's going to be just as successful, if not maybe even more so successful. So why don't you kind of tell people a little bit about what the Grid Chase is all about?
Sure, Val. Well, to begin, like you said, we had such great success with national parks and certainly the 2014 centennial events and W1AW around the country, each state was so popular. You know, everybody's saying, hey, ARRL, what can you give us to continue on that excitement? Why not have an international grid chase?
And what's nice about that, anybody can do it. You don't need to go to a park, right?
Exactly. It's not about activators and chasers anymore. It's about you getting on the air, making the contacts that you might otherwise make, or having a motivation to do them in a unique way. So if your squares were more prominent at VHF was to get on maybe only during VHF contests or meteor showers or things, you know, e-skip openings and 6 meters and exchange grid squares, you know, and we've made those contacts event and event again. You're working the same people over and over. Now we can expand upon that, and we can introduce it to HF bands, and it's no longer limited by the propagation of VHF. So for every HF band that's a part of the event, and the only band that we exclude is 60 meters at this point. So for every HF band all the way through the microwaves, and for the three focus modes, which are phone, CW, and digital, all things digital being lumped into the third category, and things that Logbook supports when you create a QSO, which you upload to Logbook, those are the parameters that this event draws upon.
So when you say all bands, all modes, so VHF, UHF, HF, and does that include those two new bands that just came out?
Absolutely. And the QST announcement wasn't specific to them. In one place, we actually talked about excluding one of the bands. Those VLF bands are 2,200 meters and 630 meters. And we've published this week an update to the online announcement and rules showing that those two additional bands can participate in this event. So again, the only exclusion is 60 meters. And again, the event is focused around privileges that U.S. amateurs have. So it's not going to be a 4-meter, 70 megahertz activity for Europe. It's going to be those bands which U.S. amateurs have access to. So it includes those VLF bands. Keep in mind, there are special requirements to use those bands. Take a look at the footnotes that we've added to the updated presentation on the web and in the rules.
And I believe, yeah, you have to register or something like that. There's a website you have to go in and register if you're going to use those bands. So
exactly. We also provide a link to our announcement when those bands became available on September 15th. So you can see the specific requirements. There are power limitation. There's proximity to a participating utility company that's using those bands.
So the goal is to get as many grid squares as you can. And for those of you that don't really know about grid squares, the whole world is broken down into these two-letter designators. And there's 324 of those, and they're 10 degrees by 20 degrees. Is that correct, Bart?
Right.
Each 1 degree by 2 degree, I believe, is a grid square.
Right.
So there's 100, 0 through 99 in each two-letter designator. Now, if there's 324 designators, that's about 32,400 grid squares, correct?
That's right.
Your goal
for this activity is to try to work them all.
And just in the U.S. alone, per what the Fred Fish Award, it's like what? How many grid squares in just the U.S.?
Sure, 488.
There you go. So you could even just go for that.
Exactly.
And might as well get your Fred Fish Award while you're at it. So
right. And several people, I think the number is still less than 10, have achieved that level on 6 meters.
Now, anybody can play, right? U.S. All over, as long as you're an LOTW user. That's the only real requirement, correct?
Exactly. The whole concept here is that we're not necessarily giving you something you could never do before. We're giving you a focused activity around something you could already do, but to get other people interested and excited about doing it at the same time that you are. And evolving that grid concept to HF, evolving it to the multiple modes that are out there that people are already exploring. Certainly in our event, we're recognizing three categories with CW and digital.
And digital FTA to Olivia to RIDI, right? Anything.
Right, to MSK144, okay. To JT65, which the EMEAs tend to use more of. And you're seeing a lot more of the JT modes down on the bottom of 80 and 40 meters as well, people exploring that. But FTA.
FTA is hot. Yeah.
Yes.
Hot.
And this is where, you know, really it's the best place to emphasize that this isn't all about the well-equipped stations just getting on and monopolizing the event, because it's not really monopolizing, it's about generating interest and activity. But it really means that the smaller station can now focus on having some more fun maybe than they otherwise would have already enjoyed. Maybe getting on modes like FT8 with their attic antenna or their vertical, their buddy pole hanging off the porch, or a wire out in the backyard, low power and the digital modes and HF, it all means excitement.
And so it's like kind of like an everyman's contest or man or woman's contest. But technicians, generals, extras, doesn't matter. Anybody can play. And so that's kind of cool.
It's all about your band privileges as to where you can go. So, you know, if you're a technician, you've got access to 10 meters or you've got access to the bottom of the other HF bands from a CW or that band portion perspective, you can get on and operate there as you would otherwise. Again, you stay within your license privileges and the mode privileges and the power privileges available to you.
Say you do want to go activate from a rare grid screen, it's going to work just like National Parks on the Air. You put that location into add a station location into your TQSL for uploading to LOTW. So sometimes you'll be a chaser, so to speak, and sometimes you'll be an activator, kind of, but not to the same level as National Parks on the Air. It's going to be mostly people probably working from their homes, but I can anticipate probably a lot of people going to some of the more rare grids. Probably, right?
Absolutely. And people who do operate from multiple locations, whether they, let's say, have been a VHF rover, so they have a vehicle equipped to, like many of us do in our cars. So your HF mobile operation now becomes a grid activator process, if you will. And somebody who knows that you're out roving around on VHF or HF becomes a, you know, if you will, a chaser. But this program is broader than that. And so the idea of a chaser and activator really is sort of more low key. And it's more about getting on, making contacts, and through the volume of contacts, enjoying filling out your grid map.
And, you know, speaking of which, what about the stuff out here? Maritime mobile or aeronautical mobile, is that going to work as well?
For anything we do, aeronautical is not part of the activity events, whether it's contest or this. But for maritime mobile, yes, that is a category of we intend to expect operators using. And again, they will have to clearly make sure they know what four-digit grid square they are actually in. Maybe even encourage them with their GPS devices that show the grid. Just take a snapshot out of that and keep it in your notes as you go from location to location. So if anybody says, hey, you know, that's a water grid, when were you out there and where were you? That snapshot has all the details.
So proof, so to speak. And it comes in handy. I know there's a lot of apps out there. Ham GPS is one. I don't know if you guys can see this here. I'm going to open it up. But Ham GPS, it pings your phone. When it pings a satellite, it's going to lock within 3 feet of where you're located. So it's very accurate as long as you get a signal to GPS. I'm kind of in my shack, so I kind of have to do that. But once it figures out where I am, it gives me my 6-digit grid square. But you guys are only going to look at the 4-digit grid squares. Is that correct?
Right. For the purpose of this event, it's the 4-digit locator. Or I should say the 4-digit grid square. We refer to the 6 characters as a locator, the 4 digits as a grid square.
Okay.
And, like I shared with you, I think in a different conversation, I've got one on my Android called GPS Status. It's a free app, and it gives me all those details plus my elevation. And if I'm driving down the road, it even gives me my speed.
And there's it showing my grid square, EN60BR. And then it's got some weird 1TT. I don't even know what that is. That's probably even more detail. But
digits. And some of the VHF microwave community are through antenna pointing stuff or even playing with the 10-digit locations.
Ah, so that's probably what that is. So if they want to send a drone strike my way, there's where I'm at.
Yeah, we'll reduce that 3 feet margin from GPS maybe a little closer.
Yeah. So Ham GPS is a great little tool to have, especially if you're going to go rove and activate grid squares. Now, are you guys going to have leaderboards and things like that?
We're going to have several views available to the public. If you're logged in as yourself, as a member, then you will have some default views that you may have established as you began accessing the information from the website. We'll give that URL again at the end. If you're not logged in as a member, but you're just logged in, you may see a variety of rotating or changing displays calling out different demonstrations of activity levels based on bands or locations or modes, you know, sort of little tidbit primers or teasers that you might have expected when you go to our website and you see the carousel, for example.
So it'll be very fluid, constantly kind of changing and showing different things. And
there will be a number of different ways that you can pull the data.
Somebody wants to get some kind of map. Do you have one of the whole world with all the grid squares so we can just start crossing them off as we play?
Yeah, Earl has a publication. It's in black and white. Again, it doesn't need to be overly embellished. And it's a publication with the various breakout of maps all over the, you know, presenting the entire world.
So if they do go to the ARRL website, they're going to get a lot more information than that's in this article.
Exactly.
So that's where you want to go. So go to the website, ARRL, and there should be, is it one of the attract mode photos up there that you can click on?
It is. And okay. Just below the photos, we always have
Five or six, and so you just go through those photos till you find the grid chase and click on that, and you'll get more details?
Exactly. Not only the photos, but just directly below the photos are active links, and this will stay as an active link throughout the year. But if all else fails, again, go to the ARRL web, www.arrl.org/AIGC2018.
AIGC, ARRL International Grid Chase.
2018.
2018. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Bart. Hopefully you guys are going to get as excited as I am about this operating event. And like you said, you know, I know you guys like to put a year-long breather in there, probably for you guys too. But after a while, you kind of go through operating event withdrawals. I know I did after Whiskey One Alpha Whiskey, and National Parks and the Air is so huge as well. So we're all ready for the new event starting January 1st, less than 2 months away.
Excellent.
So we appreciate your time, Bart, and thank you so much for getting on here today.
Thanks, Val. Great to talk to you.
All right. Bye-bye. And, you know, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to be around for chat room. I saw a couple questions come through, so I'll quick answer them. The app I use is Ham GPS. I don't remember what app Bart used, but there's a bunch. If you go into Google Play, you'll find a bunch. But Ham GPS is pretty good. And also, someone was asking if you can kind of go on a corner and work multiple grid squares. Absolutely. Rovers do that all the time. They'll get on a four-square or a two-square corner and work from two different grid squares. So you would do two separate QSOs with the person and give them two different grid squares in your exchange so they know. So that's all I've got. So I'm going to pass it over to George. Welcome aboard, George.
Ring in the holidays with D-Star. Looking for the perfect gift to put under the tree this holiday season? Check out ICOM's line of D-Star radios. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. Unwrap ICOM's newest D-Star handheld portable this season. Lightweight, compact, and tough, the new ID31A Plus is a great choice for any shack or those in harsh environments. It's a 70-centimeter radio for both analog and digital, terminal mode and access point mode, and it has an IPX7 waterproof rating. Compact and user-friendly, the ID4100A is the gift any ham would love. It's the new D-Star Mobile with big rig features. Its intuitive interface, variety of operating modes, and Bluetooth capability make this the preferred D-Star option for those on the go. Integrated GPS receiver, new dot matrix display for enhanced DR mode and GPS information, terminal mode and access point mode, and micro SD card slot for voice and data storage. And there's applications for iOS and Android devices. The ID5100A has taken innovation and mobility to the next level. With its touchscreen and internal GPS, this radio is a must-have while assessing the situation. 5.5-inch touchscreen display responds naturally to touch. DV Dual Watch receives with both FM-FM and FM-DV mode signals simultaneously. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur. For more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for November, that new radio is the ID5100A dual band dual watch transceiver. It has a large intuitive touchscreen display. Built-in GPS receiver, does, of course, both analog and D-Star, DVFM repeater list function, available optional Bluetooth module and headset, and there's an optional free Android app as well. And this is going to be the last opportunity to register for this rig giveaway in November. After the show this evening, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and throw your name in the hat. Do that after each episode of Ham Nation. You can re-register weekly. Someone's going to win this great radio, and it might as well be you. And we'll be announcing that winner next week. Thanks, ICOM, for supporting Ham Nation all these years. And, you know, sometimes, when you are, you're building an antenna, it's just a bunch of wire out there, and it's not really rocket science, but you might could benefit from a little rocket science. So here's a quick video on how to do a Western Union-style splice. What if you needed to splice two wires together and you needed the splice to be really strong? The tip we're going to look at here works best with solid wire, but could be done with stranded wire. It's called a Lyman splice. First thing you do is strip back a generous portion of insulation and get both wires the same length. And we'll lay them end to end like this. And we'll start by wrapping the wire on the left over, the wire on the right will go under, or basically like this. And then we continue the left-hand wire going over. Now, the way the Western Union technicians would do this is to use needle nose pliers to get these wraps super tight. And you'll notice that I'm not really doing that here. For NASA specifications, you need at least three wraps there. We're going to go on out. Approximately five wraps. These wires need to be right next to each other. Now, if you're planning on soldering this, you'd want to tin these wires before you begin. And now we'll clip back either end of the wire. And here's our Lyman splice. If it's done properly, this splice is at least as strong as the wire itself. As you pull it, it just tightens up. Next time you need to tie two wires together, give this a try. You might not want to strip back quite as much insulation, though. Okay, a nice splice there to use for your antenna work. When you got two wires, you know, that you got to splice together and you need some strength to them, you can't beat that splice right there. I mean, if NASA uses it and Western Union used it, well, yeah, that says enough. It works better with solid wire than with stranded wire, but, you know, there's a lot of different ways to twist wires together. I'm going to show you one more here in just a second, but I think that Lyman splice is probably the best route to go in anything where the wires are going to be pulled. Well, you know, last week I asked a question out of Gordo's Extra Class Amateur Radio Study Guide. What core material property determines the inductance of a troll rod inductor? You know, one of these round inductors here, like we use in our balun, usually a little bigger in a balun. Is it thermal impedance, resistance, reactivity, or permeability? What core material property determines the inductance of a toroid inductor? Well, we had a winner on that, And, you know, I don't have his name in front of me right now. I forgot to write it down and bring it back here. But someone did win that. Gordo's going to have to give up a book here. And it's going to be one of these transparent extra ones here, as you can see. It's actually green, but that's the way it worked out. Well, you know, I asked a moment ago, or mentioned, there's another kind of splice. I got a couple of wires here. These are just stranded conductors. You can put the two wires side by side and then grab them and twist them like that. And then you got a splice like this. I want to know, what is the name of that splice? If you think you know the answer to that, send it to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll give you one of Gordo's books. He's not here this week, so I'll do this. You can get a general, a technician, an extra, whichever one you want. It's a great study material for your license exam or someone you're trying to help get into the hobby. And by the way, this week's winner, with the question on the toroid there, is going to win a DX Engineering Canvas tote bag, super heavy-duty tote bag. I use one of these for all my outdoor operating events. Carry my coax around and heavy stuff. Works great. Well, now it's, I think Bob has got a little update for us on some things here.
Everybody here at Heil Sound, with Christmas coming, they've been working hard to get their store going. And a lot of you have asked me about these things. Well, they're finally here. Check all this out. Heil like this. Yes. And there's all kinds of things. And it's really easy that you can get all these from our online store. I'm really excited about this. They've all been working hard, and there's all the addresses. You just go to the heilsound.com/shop, and you can see all kinds of things, along with a B-stock blowout. They've kind of cleaned up. These are demos that come back from tours and things like that. And, man, some of the prices, I couldn't believe they're blowing them out the back door. All of that's available on that site, along with, of course, always this site might not be on the site all the time, but you can call here and get the books and my CDs, you know, all this kind of stuff. Anyway, thought I'd catch you up on some of that and get the new hat. Oh, there's just a lot of stuff on that shop, so you want to check that out. Well, what I want to do with the pine board tonight, it's kind of a cleanup. We've done a lot of things, and meaning that we've changed a few things. We have added some things. We've made things easier, better, all that kind of good stuff. And tonight, pay attention, because these will be the diagrams that you really want to pay close attention. And if you're building, this is what you want to build to. Because the drawings are just exquisite. Gene W4IQN has done such a great job with this, I swear. I don't know how he does it. And then Chip takes these, and he's putting them together, so we'll have them on the site. And we're going to start off with the power supply. Now, this power supply is not the original one we do with a tube. This is a solid-state bridge rectifier, or you can do it with four diodes. Kind of interesting. I got a note from 4X4LF here a couple weeks ago. Shalom said, why don't you do this with diodes? Well, you can. But the little bridge is all of those are in one little block, and that's kind of neat to do that kind of stuff. And Andy K9ATK also mentioned that, and these diodes can be like NTE 156s or 156As, any one of those, and you're ready to go. And thanks, Andy, and all of you that give me these ideas, and we try to keep you all posted what's happening. Here is the layout of that power supply, and what's so really nice about the bridge is it's simple. You got to make sure that you disconnect the center tap. That's really important. But that gives you a lot more B plus, up to around 380, 400 volts. So we're getting about 5 watts out of our transmitter now. And that really helps a lot. This is my final version of the preamp. This really plays. In fact, I've been using this thing. We've been playing guitars through them and all kinds of stuff. In fact, that's going to be a project. I think we might come up next here how to take that preamp and end up building an amplifier on the end of it for any kind of hi-fi or whatever. It's really cool. But one of the main things about this preamp is it has equalization in it. And you can see all kinds of preamps running around these days, but for stuff like this, but they don't have a preamp in them. One thing I want to alert you to, we have added an RFI filter. That choke and this capacitor is a really nice RFI filter. One other thing that we might want to do, if you do have some serious RF, I don't know how you're going to do it with this because it's not very much power, but you can add another 001 to ground here, and that really, really tightens it up for RF. Between that, the RF choke, and that, you're ready to go. But it's such a nice layout. It worked really well. And sounds terrific. The transmitter, this is one new deal on the transmitter. I've had a few guys ask me, what about CW? Well, here it is. We've added a jack, put the choke in series with this, and a switch down here. Normally that was grounded. Now you can go from AM to CW. This is a switching jack, so when you don't have the key plugged in, that grounds that. And that works great, and that answers the question for the guys that want to do CW. So if you're not taking screenshots of this, this is all going to be up on the Hile Sound website tomorrow or Friday for sure, but you could take screenshots of this also. This little 10-minute segment will be up on that too, and you can review it that way. This is the original power supply of the 6AG7 and the 6V6. We're getting right at 4.5 to 5 watts in this thing. It really works. I went over, we had to do this for the ARRL for the FCC for a purity check. And my good friend Ed, WDB40JM, here close to the plant, he's over at Waterloo, Illinois. He was an engineer in the Army that did certification, and he had really great equipment, and he did a certification check. This little booger is cleaner than ever. The FCC says it should, the second harmonic, which would have been 7.7 megs, the second harmonic has to be down 35 dB. This little puppy's down 50. We were really amazed, but we've done all the bypassing right. The coil was really done well, and one that we did, a lot of guys have asked me this, and we've shown some of this before, but I'm just reviewing some of it. How do you mount the coax connector onto the pine board? And a really nice drawing that Gene has done here. And you do it with, I did this with 16-gauge solid copper wire, and it works. It's great. And it allows you to mount that on the pine board. And, of course, this is also very important. Here are all of the listings of parts. Antique Electronic has kits. The transmitter, there's their numbers are all in there. I don't know what happened here, but AMT got left off. It's P for pine board, Bob Hile, and AMT. Good grief, AM transmitter. I just noticed. Oh, there it is there. They put it in the next line. Power supply, P, BHPS, and the mic preamp. And the reason we separate all of these, even from the beginning of this, is Some you're just going to use it for CW. The crystals come from AF4K. Bri does a really nice job with the crystals. And tubes, although you can get them from Antique Electronic, I've found this to be a better tube vendor and a little cheaper. And this, very important, this is a bugaboo. We've had five different manufacturer suppliers that they had it for a week. Others had them for $25. Give me a break. Onlinecomponents.com. You can buy it for $1.59. So there you are. And all you guys and gals that are building, and a number of you, take note of this. Chip sent this in. K9MIT. This thing is great. It's got all kinds of information. And you want to pay attention to that. So that gives you a little bit of insight as to what's happening to the latest things and how they work. And it's all ready to go. We are so proud of this. Ham Nation, look at this. It's the cover story in the January DIY issue of QST. And there's four pages, great diagrams and pictures and all of that. So you'll be able to see that in January. And how honored we are here on Ham Nation to have the ARRL really pay attention to what's going on. I'm really thrilled about all of that. And thanks to all of you that keep sending things to me, ideas, as you saw tonight, Andy and Shlomo, and of course, Chip just always comes up with great stuff. So I got to tell you, it's what makes all of this worthwhile when you guys and gals keep in touch with me. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys get your shirts and your caps and your stickers or whatever you need on the site. And I don't know if I mentioned this in the beginning. This is the new HM12. This is what HRO gives away with each one of their transceivers. How cool is that? So we're off and running and back to get on AM here pretty soon. So meet us there and away we go. We're going to go meet Tracy. Tracy is a sit-in tonight. Gordo's not here. He's out teaching the Coast Guard. You know, he does that once a month. And Tracy is here and going to tell us all about what's going on. Tracy, greetings to you.
Hey, good evening there, Bob.
Well, it's nice to have you, and you're going to be the fill-in for the Gordo. So you got some pretty heavy shoes to fill, but in knowing you, you'll be just fine. So let's see what you got going, my friend.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Bob. Like you said, we want to talk a little bit about the Quartz Fest event, Quartz Fest 2018. It's going to be held on January 21st to the 27th. It's a 21st year of this event. If we go ahead with a couple of the slides here. So first of all, you can see the location here. It's in just a little south of Quartz Fest, Arizona, about 5 miles south in the Sonoran Desert. There's over 400 RVs and trailers, and 24 tents have been set up for this event. Also, last year there were 740 attendees, and this shows venue area number one. There's four venue areas that we have. It's an ARRL conference. Just sign in at the Welcome Center. The whole thing is free. And the Welcome Center, you'll have volunteers like Pat, KD7KEL, Heather, W8GEM, and Marilyn, W6MCJ. They'll help you sign in. Outside, you know, we have all the information posted on this bulletin board. The front side has all the activities that are going on and all the sessions. The back side has on some things that people want to sell. Well, there's lots of different antennas and rigs here at Quartz Fest. There's, like I said, there's over 400 rigs, and everybody's got a different kind of antenna. Also, different types of rigs there, RV rigs. You got the little small one here. You got another one here. Well, Western Country Cousins supplies the meat for the brisket and the potluck dinner on Tuesday evening. They do a great job. Well, tent campers are there as well, and also day visitors. I'm not sure. We had about 24 camp visitors, and like I said, there's all kinds of camping here. And also we have here, there's Gordon's van. No, that's not a pink ballon at the top. It's a stuffed animal ham. That's so that he can find his campsite late at night when it's dark. Okay, this is venue area number two, where more of the sessions are held. Area number three actually is inside a 20 by 20 darkened tent where presenters can show their computer projections. Once again, we'll have the special event station, W7Q, and they have hourly workshops. It'll be held during this year, and mostly they'll be WindLink hands-on training sessions. Well, there's lots of sessions on the new digital modes, PSK31, JT65, and of course the new FT8, just to name a few that's so popular. There's also going to be some sessions on the Raspberry Pi for amateur radio operators. And we have evening sessions that includes movies on the side of an RV, and also historical and nature lectures by Earl, N1QI. There's going to be over 100 one-hour sessions planned. 52 of these are just entirely ham radio related. And there's one more coming up here. So lots of different sessions here on different things about amateur radio. Well, also, we have these little things that have been built. This is called, actually, it's called the Ham Mam. We also have a Ham Man. This shows what activities are going to be in Area 1, which is our main fire ring. Well, cast iron cooking session is on Thursday, and that evening is also our hobo stew potluck dinner, supervised by Rick, W7RAP. We're also going to have some test sessions that are offered several times during the week. I think this person hopes that praying helps, but I'm not sure that it does. Anyway, there's so many different kinds of antennas all around that you can visit here. And also, we're going to have ISS and satellite contacts will be explained. And on the Sunday before and the last day, Saturday, a lot of the children from the local schools come by. The antenna walkabout is a real special event where owners explain what they have, how it works, how it was built, and in some cases, maybe how it doesn't work. This camper pulls a really nice trailer with an antenna tower. That's pretty nice. Ward, W7PO, provides an antenna, solar, and batteries to run the special event station. It's a huge battery bank he's got in a long row of solar panels. Does a great job, Ward. And also at the special event station, you can use the radio that's provided. Actually, Gordon provides one, but you don't get to take it home. And you can bring your own and hook it up to the antennas, or bring your own antenna if you want to try that. Well, on Wednesday, we have trail rides. This year, there's going to be three different rides that you can participate in. One's called the Rough Rider. Another one's called the Nature and Adventure. And this year, for the first time, one called Land Ops, which is a 4x4 emergency communication practice drill that the Land Ops group is going to put on and demonstrate. Well, there's plenty of things to see on the trail ride. This is just one of them here. Lots of different things. This happens to be a gold mine site. Well, back at camp, there'll be an opportunity to do some actual goal panning and learn from Marilyn, W6MCJ, and Dale, N7BLM. They're the experts, and they'll show you exactly how to do the panning. And Marilyn provides some real gold from nearby sites, but she won't let you keep it. Yep, she'll just let you look at it. No, in this next picture, they're not asking for better propagation. Nope, this is a well-intended Tai Chi morning exercise class. Neil, W6FOG, does presentations about quadcopters and other RC toys. He does an excellent job and has lots of them. And, of course, Nisha's on his shoulder. One of the evenings, the owners of all the quadcopters and drones provide a lot of demonstrations. Well, the pet parade attracts over 40 participants. Denise, N6DEE, and her two pugs are shown here. Next here, Jody, WA6JL, talks about the Office of Emergency Services and different types of go bags. After a hearty hobo stew potluck dinner, the group has a hootenanny around the campfire. The songs and the chords actually are published on the Quartz Fest website. So if you want to learn, get the words ahead of time or the music, you can go ahead and get that information. Kevin, NB70, and Michelle, K7MGO, and Russ, KB6YAF, lead the group. We have cool, clear evenings and often have great views of the heavens, and people bring their large telescopes that they share with all the attendees. Jerry, AI60K, sets up her antenna as part of the antenna shootout, and you can notice both the temperature and the wind in this particular picture. But it shows in the next one here how far your antennas really work, so part of our antenna shootout. Gary, W6KVC, presents about microwave communications as well as digital TV. He does an excellent job. Also, we have mesh networks set up all around the camp with cameras at each of the sessions, so you can dial into the mesh network and see the views from some of the other sessions in case you can't attend them. Well, there's just lots and lots to do to walk around. Like I said, there's hundreds and hundreds of RVs and trailers that have different kinds of antennas, and just walking around and networking is a great thing to do. And, of course, we have Randy, K7AGE, who all of you know from Ham Nation, and he films many of our sessions. And here's Gordo, and who does the announcements each day and early in the morning about what's going on. And next here, no, this is not a discharge off the corona ball on Gordon's vertical. No, it's the beginning of our wonderful sunsets, which are shown in the very next last photo. Anyway, that's about it, Bob. So I turn it back to you. I would like to add just a couple of things quickly. You can go to the www.quartzfest.org website. You can click on the program guide, and it will show you exactly what all the 100 sessions are day by day and hour by hour. So anyway, that's about it. We do have some special tracks, one on just for new hams, one for beginning HF radio, another for intermediate and advanced HF radio, ladies sessions, and some RV related sessions. And that's about all I've got. So I think I need to turn it back to George. Is that right?
I think it's my turn.
Oh, okay, Don. You go. Oh, Don, hold on for a minute. Hold on. Can you still see me, Don?
Yeah. Oh no. It's an all SEC show tonight. Look at this. Wow. Oh, nice touch. See, now I wish I had my Oklahoma hat around here, because I'm from Oklahoma. My uncle was on the Board of Regents at OU's, and I'm an Oklahoma guy through and through, but nice touch with the hat. Good job.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. No, I'm from California, but I went to the University of Florida to get one of my degrees. So anyway,
well, that's not all. That explains that. That explains that.
That's right.
Good job. All right, let's talk about something that it doesn't matter whether your rig is a pine board or a 100-watt radio or a rock mite or the latest and greatest 5-digit wonder rig from the main manufacturers. Doesn't matter if you're running a picowatt or 1500 watts. Or even if you're running 100,000 watts like WTWW shortwave that people are listening to us on right now at 5085 and 12.105 tonight. What is the common denominator in all these? It's an antenna. And DX Engineering has major news for hams who want to invest in the very best in antenna performance, because that's what it's all about. Doesn't matter what radio you have, you got to have an antenna that works and works well. And DX Engineering is now the exclusive North American retailer of OptiBeam's elite class German engineered HF directional antennas. The OptiBeam Yagi and Log Cell Yagi antennas offer a huge list of advantages. They're designed and manufactured by devoted hams for hams who demand quality and long-lasting value. They're computer designed, computer optimized, meticulously crafted. Well, they're German, for crying out loud. Never mass produced. Tested to deliver the highest possible gain, cleanest patterns, low SWR, and excellent front-to-back ratios. They're made from high-quality aluminum alloys, UV-stable synthetic parts, and stainless steel hardware. Only the best. And they're engineered to ensure that the elements are perfectly aligned and secured against torsion with a minimal droop for excellent appearance, because that's part of it too. Based on eham.net reviews as of September 30th of this year, 2017, OptiBeam was the highest rated HF antenna manufacturer, posting 98.6% 5-star reviews. And of course, DX Engineering will be offering all OptiBeam amateur radio antenna models. Popular models will be in stock in the first quarter of next year, 2018. DX Engineering taking orders right now for the wide range of OptiBeam HF models, including modest to massive monobanders. Say that 3 times real fast, but I can because I am an announcer. 40 through 10 meter multibanders, even 80 meter Yagis. Here are just a few of the many models. The OB95HD. Super heavy duty 9-element 5-band Yagi covering 20, 17, 15, 12, and 10. Solidly constructed, refined short boom Yagi with a narrow turning radius under 20 feet. The OB4030 is a 4-element, that'd be a hell of a note, wouldn't it? A 4-element Yagi for 40 and 30, like all OptiBeam antennas that feature stable and properly shaped element holders and a robust boom with solidly built element transitions. And the OB-11-5 is an 11-element, 5-band Yagi covering 20, 17, 15, 12, and 10. And as with all the OptiBeam antennas, it includes a high-power Balun with the UHF female connector for 50-ohm coax cable. All the OptiBeam antennas arrive in sub-assemblies. Every part is carefully sorted, clearly labeled, and well-packed for worry-free shipment and easy installation. And after your purchase, you can, of course, expect a quick response to any of your technical questions, should you have them. The hams at OptiBeam are available 365 days a year with comprehensive advice. And it's all from DX Engineering. And you know this, DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Certainly, you know that if you've ordered from them. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern time are shipped same day. With proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. You can request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And we thank them so much for their support of Ham Nation. And if you don't have the new DX Engineering catalog, well, then there's something wrong with you, and I don't want you in the shack. It's just the way it is. Amanda's got her catalog. I'm sure of it because, you know, she's just amazing. Amanda, you got your catalog? I want to see it right now. Produce it. Where's it at?
It's in
I'll
the
take
other
your
room.
Word. I trust you, Amanda.
It's
because
actually,
you know,
it's on you know how you have you. The phase next to your dining room table? That's exactly where my DX Engineering catalog is. Jeff is.
All right.
Oh yeah, that's, it's okay. Right here. Okay.
Okay.
So.
It's not in the bathroom, so that's good.
Well, it's been in the bathroom before.
I really don't want to hear about that.
I don't want to hear about that either. I had to take out all the tags of things that Jeff wanted for Christmas already. I said, okay, pick one, honey, pick one.
Just pick a random page and close your eyes and point. Oh, I can use that. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my. I could do that as long as it landed on the 7610, right? Yes, 7610. That, by the way, I know I'm going off topic here, but that thing looks amazing. I've seen some screenshots from Renovac on Facebook. Beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, do you know what we need to do before we get into chat room? I completely forgot, and it's stupid because I'm wearing the shirt. We need to talk about Amateur Radio Newsline. Can we do that real quick?
Yep.
Please. Let's from Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2091, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 29th, 2017. This week, it's all about kids getting on the air, both here in the U.S. and abroad. We begin with Yoda.
While most youngsters may anticipate December because it brings Christmas and a break from school, young amateur radio operators in IAIU Region 1 know what it means for them. The annual Youngsters on the Air, or YOTA, activity takes place where youngsters work the bands to make as many contacts around the world as they can with one another. Most countries have special YOTA stations. You'll know them when you hear them. Their call sign will have YOTA, YOTA, as their suffix. You don't need to be in your 20s or even younger to make contact. It might even make some OMs feel young again. Registered special calls already include South Africa, ZS9 YOTA, Russia, R17 YOTA, Sweden, SH9 YOTA, and Slovakia, OM9 YOTA. If you're a young ham and not yet registered, there's still time to get on the list, at least until December. Visit ham-yota.com to register your call sign online. While it's not considered a contest, there are definitely prizes, new friends, a new experience, and a sense of accomplishment amongst them. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
A 13-year-old ham radio operator has come up with a creative approach to his next big challenge, getting to WRTC 2018 in Germany.
The World Radio Sport Team Championship is coming up soon, and one newly upgraded to extra class ham is excited about the opportunity to compete. Bryant Rascal, KG5HVO, tells us about the trip.
So WRTC is the World Radio Team Championship. Next year, WRTC will be held in Germany. I was chosen to compete in one of the three youth teams. I am the youngest competitor and the only youth from North America.
It's not easy to afford to get there, especially when you're 13 years old. So he came up with a creative solution.
In order to help cover some of the travel and equipment costs, I have created some Christmas-themed ham radio postcards that can be used as a Christmas QSL card or a personal greeting card. If you are interested in purchasing any of these fun postcards, please look me up on QRZ.com for more information.
The cards combine some holiday cheer with ham radio. For example, a reindeer with some yaggies and a buddy pole for the antlers, and a barn with a manger complete with a tower on top of the barn. For all the info, check out KG5HVO on QRZ.com. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
And speaking of Christmas, it's that time again.
Ho, ho, ho! Well, boys and girls, it's my favorite time of the year again. It's time for the Santa Watch Net.
That's right. Santa will be making his rounds, and once again, for the seventh year in a row, the gang at the Dewdrop Inn will be watching the radar. Join the Santa Watch Net starting at 1800 hours Eastern Time.
Ho, ho! And my little elf Dave, N3NTV. Oh, he's such a cute little fellow. I think he might have put on some weight. He's going to be calling the net and keeping track of Santa's locate. Oh, QTH.
And just like last year, Santa has a radio in his sleigh, and yeah, he'll chat with the kids again.
Oh, that's right. Bring all the little ones and let's get them checked in. Oh, third-party traffic is always on the nice list.
Once again, it's the Santa Watch Net. Christmas Eve, 1800 hours Eastern on the Dew Drop-In Echo Link conference server. Note number 355-800.
Merry Christmas from me, old Santa, and all my little elves here at the Dew Drop Inn. Ho, 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 ho.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Old St. Nick himself, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And no Dr. T tonight. She's been ultra busy, but I understand that she did post something to her Twitter feed and also, I think, on Facebook and maybe at spaceweatherwoman.com. If you don't follow her on Twitter, you really should. It's at Tamitha Scove. TAMITHASKOV at Tamitha Scove on Twitter and Periscope. And of course, check her out on spaceweatherwoman.com. I do believe she has posted something already for today. Just didn't get it to us in time. And that's all right, because we can go check her out on Twitter. And I don't know about you, Amanda, but I think old St. Nick may have been hitting the eggnog in that last report. I was dying.
I think Santa almost lost it there a little bit. Was that you?
I've been doing that for them for 6 or 7 years now, I think. They asked me to do the thing, and yeah, I'm always happy to do that. So yeah, that's me.
Well, you have to hit the eggnog first then to be able to do the hoo hoo hoo. Okay, very good job though. all right, let's get serious. Bob, this was a great question. Simon ZL2FAE wants to know, how much time so far have you put into the Pine Borb project?
I'm not going to lie to you. It's been well over 1,000 hours. There's a tremendous amount of work. And playing around and experimenting, it's because I want it to be right, and we keep adding things and making it better. But I spend a lot of times when I'm down in my other station lab, Hope, down in the Ozarks, I'm in that room at least 12 to 15 hours a day. And I've been doing this since last April, so you can add it all up. But I'm very thrilled about it because I don't know how many. I don't see much in the chat room anymore, but I get tons of letters from all around the country. As you saw, I got one from Israel, Australia. There are a tremendous amount of people that want to build. And so whether our own audience right here in the chat room is doing it, don't know. But boy, we have got a ton out there, and I'm so thrilled. And when 100,000 people get to see it in QST, who knows? So the time will be well worth it. I've been building since 1956 when I started building. So you do the math. And I love it. It's been my college education. I learned so much from it. And I'm saddened when a lot of people just kind of poo-poo it and walk away. They really need to get involved in this. It's so much fun. And who knows where we're going next. I got a lot of people wanting to do different things. So we will do it. So stand by. There'll be more. This isn't the end of it, that's for sure. Only the beginning, Amanda.
Well, we can't wait to see more from you. And just the mere notion that this is going to be in QST is awesome. And you better have I hope you have an email account set up just for those inquiries and feedback. You're going to be a busy guy answering all those. But I think your forum on your website helps a lot. I think a lot of people can post questions there, and it's very helpful to have a community where people can go for this. So, all right, I won't take any more time on that. Let's see. Last night, you guys, there was an opening on 6 meters. I hope some of you viewed it and got on the air. I didn't hear. It wasn't open to Colorado, of course, but I did see it open to the East Coast quite a bit. One other thing, George, this question's for you. Did you find that video from Dan Vandenhoven's complete shack tour?
No, George.
Oh, we had Valerie. No one told me that. So I don't have any questions for you, Val, because I didn't know you're going to be here with us. But let me give you an announcement from Gordo. He wanted everyone to know that the 19th annual Ham Radio University will be held on Saturday, January 6, 2018, from 7:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Hillwood Common Student Center in Brookville, New York. For more information, please visit hamradiouniversity.org. I guess that's a very big deal that it's 19 years going now that they've had a Ham Radio University there. I know we put some here on locally in Denver. It's kind of a big deal. Anything from learning how to make your first antenna and your connectors and what you need to much more advanced repeater situations, just go check it out, see what you can learn from there. Let's go over the nets. We have D-Star on 14 Charlie that's going on right now. We have DMR on TAC 311 also going on right now. 7192 for the 40-meter net. Your normal net control, Kevin, is out. He was on a job tonight, but W7UDI is stepping up to do that. Bigger news is that we are going to start an 80-meter net and out of the AM window, Bob, so you don't have to worry about that again. With that, that's all I have. Back to you, Bob.
All right. You got that right. The AM window, more and more need to know about it. 3870 to 3890 has been reserved as a gentleman's agreement back in the 50s when sideband started, 7290 to 95. And it's wonderful that we can have gentlemen take care of that. But we find once in a while there aren't gentlemen. They get very aggressive. It's their frequency. No. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. It's really been fun. It's been a lot going on here, and I was glad Michael could join us. We got to have him back again. Tell us more about his projects at Ford. I don't know if you caught that, but he's working in Silicon Valley. Ford has a plant there to do all of their new things, not just build cars, but all of the things that's coming up in vehicles. And here you are, a young man that's right in the middle of it. So we want to learn more. At least I want to learn more about that. So we'll have to have him back on. And also some of the things that are going on with a lot of the youth. So that's cool. Thanks for joining us. Listen on WTWW. You'll hear lots of stuff going on there, 5.085. Saturday night at 8 o'clock there, you'll hear some theater organ music. Yep, we do that every Saturday night too. And I think Dan or somebody had a question. On top of that, I'm doing concerts around the country. So there you go. We're doing it, having fun. See you back here next week, same time. Pass the word, have fun. And we'll see you on the air, that's for sure. So good night, everybody. Have fun. And keep all those cards and letters coming. Bye-bye for now.